Hello and welcome to the first episode of the second series of my podcast, Lest We Forget. My name is Gary, just an enthusiastic reader of military history. I want to share some of the lesser known stories I have encountered. Stories that got me saying to myself, why haven't I heard this before? This week's episode, The Real Heroes of Rorke's Drift. The defence of the garrison at Rorke's Drift took place during the Anglo-Zulu War and followed the British Army's heavy defeat at Isandhlwana on the morning of the 22nd of January 1879, and continued overnight into the following day. 139 British soldiers successfully defended Rorke's Drift against an intense assault by up to 4,000 Zulu warriors. The Zulu attack came very close to defeating this tiny garrison, and the British success is held as one of history's finest defences. 11 Victoria Crosses were awarded amongst the defenders, along with a number of other decorations and honours. This defence is depicted in a major film production of 1964, Zulu. I will be referring to this film and a few of its characters in this podcast, and highlighting some of the historical myths and misrepresentations it portrayed. And we'll also talk about a Rorke's Drift hero not even featured in the film. Having said that, these inaccuracies, what the filmmakers label as artistic license, were presumably incorporated to enhance the viewer's enjoyment and add some dramatic tension. Let me say this though, they do not and never will tarnish my opinion of the film. I love this film. It made an enormous impression on me as a seven-year-old and is a film I have watched countless times and never tire of. Let us start with the location, Rorke's Drift. This was an established trading store and mission station run by the Reverend Otto Witt, a Swedish missionary who had hoped to spread the cause of Christianity to his Zulu neighbours. Otto Witt, played by the actor Jack Hawkins in the film, was portrayed as a pacifist and someone who managed to get a little inebriated, eventually being placed on a horse and cart to be driven away by his adult daughter. The real Otto Witt was only aged 30 and had a wife and two infant children who were 19 miles away at the time of the battle. Far from being a pacifist, Witt had cooperated closely with the army and negotiated a lease to put Rorke's Drift at the army's disposal. On the morning before the battle, Witt, with the chaplain George Smith and Surgeon Major James Henry Reynolds, had ascended Cheyenne, the large hill near the station, and noticed the approach of the Zulu force across the Buffalo River. Witt made it clear that he did not oppose British intervention against the Zulus and had stayed at Rorke's Drift because he wished, in his words,
to take part in the defence of my own house and at the same time in the defence of an important place for the whole colony. Yet my thoughts went to my wife and to my children, who were at a short distance from there and did not know anything of what was going on.
And so he left on horseback to join his family shortly before the battle commenced. Rorke's Drift consisted of a chapel and a dwelling house, both sturdily built. The chapel was being used for storage, and the house, as a temporary field hospital. There were 35 patients in the house, which actually only left 104 men who were fit enough to fight. But more about the hospital later. The command of the post had passed to Lieutenant Chard of the Royal Engineers when Major Henry Spaulding of the 104th Regiment left on the morning of the 22nd of January. His parting words were, "Nothing will happen." In the film, there was some debate between Chard and Lieutenant Bromhead, played by Stanley Baker and Michael Caine, about their length of service. Chard was in fact 3 years in seniority, not the 3 months portrayed. Now we think of the infantry regiment in the film as a Welsh one, when in fact they were the 24th Regiment of Foot, the 2nd Warwickshires, an English regiment. Although they were based in Brecon in South Wales, they did not become the South Wales Borderers until 1881. Of the regiment's soldiers who were present at Rorke's Drift, 49 were English, 32 Welsh, 16 Irish, and 22 others of indeterminate nationality. The song "Men of Harlech," which features prominently as the regimental song, did not become so until later. And in any case, the dry heat at the time would have made it almost impossible for the men to sing any song. Now back to the actual events. On the morning of the 22nd of January, news of the defeat at Isandhlwana reached Rorke's Drift by way of two surviving Natal soldiers from the battle, who also spoke of a detachment of Zulus approaching. Rather than retreat and leave themselves exposed to the quicker Zulus, it was decided to defend the garrison, so walls and barricades were constructed out of mealie bags and biscuit boxes, forming a perimeter which included the two buildings. This is where our next misrepresented character steps up. James Langley Dalton was an acting assistant commissary, basically involved in stores and transport. Yet Dalton was arguably the real hero of Rorke's Drift. An experienced retired infantry staff sergeant of the British Army, it was he who persuaded the officers Chard and Bromhead to remain at Rorke's Drift when their first instinct was to abandon the post. And it was he who organised and supervised the construction of the barricades connecting the two buildings with sacks of corn and an inner barricade with biscuit boxes. During the battle itself, Dalton prowled the perimeter, encouraging the men and offering his help and advice. He was one of a small group, including Lieutenant Bromhead, who had been battling to hold one of the most vulnerable points in the perimeter, a dangerous gap in the biscuit box wall. The chaplain, George Smith, described Dalton's work.
"Mr. Dalton, who is a tall man, was continually going about the barricades, fearlessly exposing himself and cheering the men, and using his own rifle most effectively. A Zulu ran up near the barricade. Mr. Dalton called out, 'Pot that fellow,' and himself aimed over the parapet at another, when his rifle dropped and he turned round, quite pale, and said that he had been shot. The doctor was by his side at once and found that a bullet had passed quite through above the right shoulder."
In the film, James Langley Dalton was portrayed as something of an effete character who does little that might be called heroic. So it probably seemed odd within the context of the film that he was awarded a Victoria Cross. Dalton's citation for his Victoria Cross medal was as follows. For his conspicuous gallantry during the attack on Rorke's Drift Post by the Zulus on the night of the 22nd of January 1879, when he actively superintended the work of the defence and was amongst the foremost of those who received the first attack at the corner of the hospital, where the deadliness of his fire did great execution, and the mad rush of the Zulus met with its first check, and where, by his cool courage, he saved the life of a man of the Army Hospital Corps by shooting the Zulu, who, having seized the muzzle of the man's rifle, was in the act of assegaying him. This officer, to whose energy much of the defence of the place was due, was severely wounded during the contest, but still continued to give the same example of cool courage. At this stage, I am going to mention Colour Sergeant Bourne, who was depicted in the film as a big, hardened, middle-aged veteran, played by Nigel Green in the film. In fact, the real Sergeant Bourne was of a smaller stature, around 5'4" tall, and, aged 24, the youngest colour sergeant in the British Army at that time. He was nicknamed the Kid by his men and was the last British survivor from the battle, passing away, ironically, on VE Day in May 1945. Another character whose efforts were not necessarily portrayed in full was that of the Army surgeon James Henry Reynolds. Oblivious to the life and death struggle going on all around him, Surgeon Reynolds went round the barricades, distributing ammunition and tended to the wounded there, something that is not shown in the film. Now, the reason it wasn't shown probably relates to cost saving, as all the scenes involving the surgeon and inside the hospital were not shot on location in South Africa, but on a studio set at Twickenham. That also explains why there is very little interaction between the characters in the hospital and those outside. Another defender of Rorke's Drift that didn't feature in the film at all was a man I mentioned earlier, the chaplain George Smith. Padre Smith, as he was called, was an assistant army chaplain, and therefore a non-combatant. Smith played a supportive role in the defence, where he distributed ammunition to the soldiers who were manning the barricades, and his efforts won him the praise of several officers present. After the Zulu War, he was often referred to as Ammunition Smith. As an assistant army chaplain and therefore technically a civilian, Smith was not entitled to receive a campaign medal or other award for his part in the defence. Instead, he was offered and accepted a position as a regular army chaplain. Now, back to the battle. The Zulus attacked the barricades relentlessly and were repulsed by rifle fire and, when breached, by bayonet. Zulus also chose to attack the house now being used as the hospital. This building consisted of 10 rooms and sheds, 7 of which were occupied by the 35 patients and around 12 soldiers posted there to defend it. These 7 rooms formed part of the defensive perimeter of the garrison, and most of them had no internal doors. The soldiers had created loopholes for rifle fire in the exterior walls, but they became a liability when the Zulus, despite their losses, were eventually able to grab at the British rifles or fire into these holes themselves. It was clear that the hospital would need to be abandoned, especially as the Zulus had already begun to occupy some of the unused rooms. Private Joseph Williams was posted in one of these perimeter rooms with two other soldiers and two patients. They had been holding this room against attack for over an hour, and Joseph Williams was using a small window to fire from. In fact, the following morning, 14 dead Zulus were found directly outside this window. When their ammunition ran out, Joseph Williams held the door with his bayonet and the butt of his rifle until the Zulus forced open the door, dragged him out by his hands, and mutilated him with their spears. It was reported at the time that his actions were considered the most single-handed act of bravery in British history. Undoubtedly, he would have been awarded a medal had he not died, but was recognised when Queen Victoria sent a letter to his family. His story has almost been lost amongst the other gallant defenders and medal winners, and his actions did not even feature in the film Zulu. Joseph Williams' actions were not in vain, though, as it allowed another soldier, 21-year-old Private John Williams, to hack a hole in an internal wall and drag the two bedridden patients through just as the Zulus burst through the door. John Williams had now entered another room in which were Private Henry Hook and another 9 patients. Williams then began to hack another hole into an adjoining room as Hook fended off the Zulus who were firing through the exterior door. Williams managed to create a hole big enough and get the remaining patients through to another adjoining room. Hook was the last man through, and Williams began the process again of hacking a hole for the third time. By now, the hospital had been set on fire by the Zulus, and it took Williams about 50 minutes to break through to the last room, which was being defended by two soldiers, Privates Robert Jones and William Jones. From here, the patients and the remaining soldiers escaped through a window into the yard and across to the barricades. Privates John Williams, Henry Hook and the two Joneses all won Victoria Crosses for their actions. The evacuation of the hospital and conditions were claustrophobically worse than the portrayal in the film. There were no bunks, and the patients were lying on the floor at the feet of the soldiers defending the room. Probably the biggest misrepresentation in the film was that of Private Henry Hook. Hook is depicted as a rogue with a penchant for alcohol. Michael Caine's character, the officer Bromhead, says to Chard about Hook, "He is in the hospital malingering under arrest. He's a thief, a coward, a barrack room lawyer, and you've given him a rifle." The real Private Hook had actually been posted to defend the hospital patients. And not only that, he was a teetotaler and a model soldier who later became a sergeant. Understandably, his family walked out during the premiere of the film. With the arrival of dawn, the Zulus withdrew, leaving over 350 dead around the barricades. Later that day, a relief column of British soldiers arrived at the garrison. Of the 137 soldiers and two civilians, 35 of whom were sick in the hospital, only 15 were killed in the battle, with 2 later dying of their wounds. Although the subsequent award of 11 Victoria Crosses to the defenders of Rorke's Drift were seen by some as an overreaction to counter the news of the disaster at Isandhwana, there is no doubt that this was one of the greatest military defences ever mounted, and one that, in part, thanks to the film Zulu, will never be forgotten.